views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, and I just want to thank you all for listening today. Today is Wednesday, February the 22nd, 2017. We have a live show for you today. It is a Wise Wednesday, so Brother Davis will be on board here today for you all. Looking forward to that show. Also, before we get started in the show, let's get into some of the house matters, and that is us all supporting Black Talk Radio Network. And you can do that easily by going to Black Talk Radio Network's website, and that is www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And there you'll see the prompt for donations. If you would give some of your financial energy, that would greatly, greatly help this overall programming and this overall network to continue to bring you what you have already deemed as being relevant and very necessary and important. So to ensure that we still have Black Talk Radio Network and all the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network, make sure you give some of your financial energy. You can make a donation there at the website on the donation prompt that's on the far right-hand margin. That will keep Black Talk Radio Network on air and continue in its overall bringing you what we all need to know. Also, Black Talk Radio Network has established a social media outlet, and that social media outlet is known as BTR Community. You can find it on the website, or you could go to it individually by going to www.btrcommunity.com. It's a social media outlet for you to gauge in all of your social media activities, and it's only $24 a year, and you can promote yourself, your business, some events that you think need to be given the proper attention, and you could do that without any adverse recourse from the mainstream or from outside entities that would mean to do you or to adversely affect you by your overall opinions, comments, views, or whatever it is that you may have. So engaging your overall social media activities with BTR Community, $24 a year for the subscription, and that's all it is, and that's the only place that I post. Also, March the 25th of 2017, the Volt Media Group is going to have a family business private wealth seminar in Dallas, and that's going to go from 1 p.m. Central Standard Time to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you can, if you have a part of BTR, I posted it there inside of BTR Community. You can see it there, or you can actually text me and I'll get you the information, 951-790-8330, okay, for that, to make it RSVP. It is the overall ticket prices are, and they're only going to take so many people that think that they've capped it out where they only want to take 80 people, and those actual the Vault Media Group will be on tomorrow. So if you have any questions or comments about their event, they will be on tomorrow. And the tickets for couples is $100, and single tickets are $125, okay? And the reason being is that this symposium is really geared for the family business. But if you're an individual and you would like to come, that's great. Just bring someone with you. That way you can get two for one, and, you know, you can get information, and it'll be $100 per couple. But this is it's really geared for family business, and so they want you to bring the family out to this if you possibly can. That would be great for the for you and your family. But if you can come as a couple, that'd be great. So it's $100 for couples and $125 for singles for single tickets. The single ticket holders still will be able to benefit from it all, but it is geared for the for family business private wealth. So that is going to be March the 25th, 2017, next month. Looking forward to that. I know some of the people that are going to be some of the presenters, and they are totally dynamic people. And the overall information that they are giving to you, you will deem that it was necessary and well worth your overall everything that you spent to hear that and to engage in that into that very for the opportunity to protect yourself and to have some form of prosperity that you can hand down. So very important. So that's going to be March the 25th. Okay. Also, if you're interested in acquiring real money, you can go to Prosperity Mint. That's PROSPERITYMINT.com and check out what's in inventory there, and then email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Wolf6pack1@gmail.com. And six and the number one are numerical. Okay. All right. So with that being said, let's jump into what's in the news. Oh, but before we do that, tomorrow on BIB with CC's and Brother X's show, they're going to have a special guest. And I definitely suggest that you all tune in for that right after Tando Radio Show tomorrow. It will be worth your while. She's going to have a special guest on tomorrow. Is going to be former IRS agent Sherry Peel Jackson. And if you don't know who Miss Jackson is, I've had an opportunity actually to speak to Miss Jackson before. Very, very dynamic person. Someone that you want to definitely be in on that show tomorrow. That's going to be BIB Black in Business with Brother Joseph X12 and CC, the golden voice of BTR community. So check that out tomorrow right after Tando Radio Show. Looking forward to that myself, okay? So that was what we needed to take care of. Hopefully I took care of. Did I forget anything? I know I probably did, but that's okay. We're going to jump into what's in the news so that we can get to Brother Davis's Wise Wednesday version of the show today. So let's jump into what's in the news really quickly, and we'll get moving. Oh, what happened here? That's not good. All right. Okay, here we go. One of the first articles. My man Rod sent this one. It was drone footage of a drainage dam. Looks like a flying. Looks like it's flying into a black hole. And it's because it's a circular. It's known as what is it? It's a thing as Mammoth Glory Hole. That's in California. I may be misspeaking on what it really is, but I know it's known as the Glory Hole. But actually, ladies and gentlemen, this is the correct way that dams and reservoirs should be working, in a circular motion, because that's the natural way that water moves. And if it's moving that way, then you don't have as much exposure, nor do you, I mean, do you have much exposure or liability to flooding compromising of your overall dams. If you have a drainage system that moves in circular motions, because that's the natural movement of water. So that way it doesn't have, you won't have some of the, but see, they know this, but they purposely don't do it. Next article, Ross sent this one also. This came from Globe and Mail, and he said the setup continues. San Juan flooding forces thousands to flee, shut down major freeways. Ross and I both posted stuff about this one. today in Tando. Next article. Rye sent this one. This one came from NBC News. Ex-Guantanamo detainee who won a payout reportedly became a suicide bomber. So check out that article. And real quickly, this is what Rye says. This is what having disagreeable melanin deficiency being in charge breeds. People who would not have embraced a racial version of fighting oppression until they get mistreated by the racist. Let me move this down. Dominator. So true. There, brother Rye. So true. So check out that one. It's also posted there. Excuse me, my dad going. One of the things about where I live is that the internet is so bad here. It moves up and down on me. So if I try to move something down, it's slow, and then it'll move it up and down. Oh, it's a pain in the butt. So my internet is really, really bad. But hopefully that is going to be getting fixed soon here. So next article. This one comes from, move this down. Hopefully it won't jump on me. This one comes from Reuters. Iran ready to give U.S. slap in the face, a commander said, and this one came from the Republican Guard commander. And I said, in March, next month, Iran is going to drop the U.S. dollar. So check out that. But it was something more in there. Check out that article. Next article from the New York Times. And I think this all goes hand in hand and what we've been talking about with California. I do think that this is the opportunity for this to have many, many avenues as to what's going on in California. This is just another spin, and this just substantiate and validate some of the things that we talked about, that the possibilities of what's going on in California as being a part of a agenda and a criminal agenda, a crimes against humanity. So, but check this out. This comes from the New York Times. Hopefully it stops moving on me, okay? California secession advocates faces scrutiny over where he's based in Russia. So check out that article. I don't want to read too much of anything today because I don't want to take too much time from Brother Davis on Wise Wednesday. So check out that article. Next article from Bloomberg posted. Trump team maps sweeping deportation for undocumented migrants. And the Bloomberg has that there. And this thing is really starting to pick up, and the destabilization of it is going to be massive. And also, as we speak now, in Switzerland. Well, over the past couple of nights, they've been rioting in Switzerland. And once we saw the migration, I remember we were doing a Tando radio show. Scotty and I had talked about with you all that this is nothing more than a Trojan horse. And this was something that they were going to use everywhere before they started really pushing it here in the States and everywhere else in Europe. And lo and behold, that's exactly what's happening here. So check out that. And this is why I think Tando Radio Show is so, so important, because it gives you some things to get to have a heads up on way before they start to manifest themselves. So I think it's very, very important. And we appreciate all of you that participate in Tando Radio Show. I truly, truly, truly do. I know Scotty does. I know Brother Davis does. And I know all of the participants here at Tando Radio Show. We truly do. Cherish, appreciate, and love you. Thank you so much. Next article. This comes from New York Times. New Trump deportation rules allow for far more explosion. So this is another article that goes on with this, and this is going to be very, very critical as it starts to play out. Next article. This one was posted inside of YouTube, and I want to play this really quickly. I don't know. Maybe I should get Scotty to play it real quick because my internet is messing up. My man Scotty, are you there real quick?
Yeah, Dave.
Scotty may be busy. Okay. Scotty may be doing some things.
No, I'm here, Dave. I had to unmute myself. Hey.
Okay. Hey, Scotty, I don't know. Are you in BTR or on Tando's radio, on Tando's page on in BTR?
I'll get there.
Okay. Because there's a 1 minute video I would love for you from MSNBC. So I wanted everyone to hear what this lady, Z Brunensky's daughter. And if you know anything about Z Big, this dude is a true fascist personality, historical personality that a lot of people may not know, has been behind scenes on a lot of things. But most people do know. And just some of the things that he said. I'm going to tell you one of the things that Z-Big said, that in the past, it was easier to control a million people than it was to kill a million people. Now it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than it is to control them. So what do you think the system wants to do?
Wait a minute, Dave, I'm confused.
Everything to do with what his daughter said on MSNBC.
Go ahead, Scotty. I got it. It's only 30 seconds long, though. I got it.
Yes. Okay. Yes, if you would play that. And I want you to really listen. She's talking about Trump, but listen to what she says at the end.
Okay, here we go.
He's doing, what are you so surprised about? He's doing exactly what he said he's going to do.
Well, and I think that the dangerous, you know, edges here are that he's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts. And it could be that while unemployment and the economy worsens, he could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Did she say that's our job?
Did you hear what she said? She said that's our job. Her direct quote, she said, she's talking about Trump, could undermine the message so much that he could actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job. Z-Big's daughter. And I think he is one of the most evil people that you see, the celebrity figurehead personalities that you see. They tell you everything if you would just learn to listen. That's what this mainstream media is all about. The key to magic is not to trick you, and this is why I always say it. The key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe.
Dave.
Yes.
Oh, using the word anniversary is not proper, but the recognition of the assassination of Malcolm X was this week, right? And what did Malcolm say about the media? My favorite quote upon which Black Talk Media Project was founded. The media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. It controls the minds of the masses, and that's power. They can make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent.
Telling you everything. Brother Malcolm was correct, and this lady admitted to what the overall, and let me tell you why she didn't misspeak. She knew exactly what she was doing, and they know this because they have to tell you so that you will become numb. You will have a sense of ennui where you really don't care. You say, okay, so what? Whatever they want to do, I don't care. That's exactly what they want, and that's how they're able to enslave, subjugate, and to have your way of life provide for their means of life, be their means of life. So, so important. What she said in just that 30 seconds seals and tells everything as to why you need to become self-determining, sovereign, and independent. And you can do that even from within their system until you continue to mature yourself into a way until you don't need their system at all. And we're going to have a show just on that relatively soon, next week. And very, very, very important, says it all. So check out that, and we'll come back to that at another time, not on Wise Wednesdays, though, because we got to get back to Wise Wednesday. Next article comes from the Iranian Press TV. Treasury urged the IMF to provide candid analysis. They're trying to label China as a currency manipulator, and this is going to only affect those of people here in the United States that are not prepared for what they're going to be doing. Next article from Reuters: Exclusive. China finishes South China Sea building that could house missiles. U.S. officials said long-range missiles, short-range missiles, and they're going to continue to militarize those areas. And that, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't think that was it. One second. And next article. This one comes from... One second. This one comes from Reuters. Oh, no, we already did that one. The next one comes from the Free Thought Project .com. Give my hold 1 second, my darn. Think I'm going to have to go back here. Sorry about that, everyone. Lost my little place here in what's in the news. And it's okay, so let me give me 1 second, and I will pick back up. This is from Free Thought. And, oh, man. 1 second. Here we go. All right. So what I'm going to do in the meantime, while I'm pulling this up. All right, here we go. Next article. Move this down. Come on down. Okay, here we go. Here we go. 1 second. Next article. Finally got it. Time to wake up. Princeton historian warns World War III is now a serious threat. Check out that now. They're telling you, and see, most people will take their word as being more credible, but you've been listening to Tando Radio Show. We've been trying to prepare you for a very long time for that, and this is where it's starting to be admitted in mainstream outlets. Next article, very, very important one. This one comes from Newscom AU, which is Australia, NASA, which means, in my opinion, never a straight answer, the association that was actually created and housed the fleeing Nazis from Germany that chose to go to work with the U.S. government, and the other better scientists chose to actually continue, in my opinion, their overall building with Hitler himself down in the Arctic Circle, down in Antarctica. Because, you know, that's just what they were doing. But there were some that came to the United States. But check out that is known as Operation Paperclip. It's the truth. It's not, this is not any conspiracy theory. So save it. Now, this one is from Mission Will Look for Life on Europa. So that was the thing. And then also today, NASA had a press conference in which they had said that they discovered 7 Earth-like planets that were actually encircling planets similar to Earth within the habitable zone, and which known as the Goldilocks zone as well. And they said 7 Earth-like planets discovered 40 light years away. That was their news conference. We talked about it yesterday that they were going to have a news conference. And so what they said is that they had a major announcement of they found 7 planets, but it was like 40 million years away, so 40 light years away, which they could actually travel within 35-40 minutes. They have the technology to do that. So that was NASA's announcement today. You can I didn't post anything about it because I just didn't have time, but it's right there. You could check that out for yourself. Okay, next article. Moving right along. Next one comes from where does this come from? PassiveTech.com. San Diego police targets African American children for unlawful DNA collection. Check out that very important article. Next article: hundreds rescued from California's flood waters in San Jose. This came from NBC News up in NBC News 12 up in Northern California in San Jose. Next one. Is this was the Twitter feed for the National Weather Association. Make sure, for those of you in California, you definitely, in Northern California, you definitely have to check this out and be up to date. There was actually a dam that was, they had an emergency evacuation order yesterday in Nevada for a dam that was on the verge of collapsing. But I don't think that it did, but this whole thing is starting to spread as the waters from the rain start to make their ways into the rivers and the streams, and they're flooding them out. And they bought some time by diverting the water, but they won't be able to withstand it. So check out those articles, and that's what's in the news. And we're going to, 1 second, Let me see if Brother Davis is there. Yep, Brother Davis is there, and he's all ready to go. So we're going to turn over the show to Brother Davis. Brother Davis, welcome, welcome, welcome to Kendo Radio Show on Wise Wednesday. Looking forward to your show. We won't have a commercial break until 36 minutes at the top of the hour, Brother Davis. So all ready to go. So whenever you're ready, you can take it away, my friend.
It's always good to hear the voice of a friend. And I tell you, I'm at a unique spot. I'm here getting my face bathed in the sun. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand the importance of having the sun bathe you, but in reality, it is one of the most natural things that occur to us when we're aware of it. Because we do it every day where we're unaware of it. That is actually one of the points I'm going to point out tonight in this show. What we are truly unaware of what we can do in diverse times. And the reason why is because a lot of times people look at their circumstance and they get tunnel vision. Well, I'm going to open the tunnel so that you will see that there's a multiplicity of avenues for you to make decisions that will benefit you. I have been in a state of personal reprocreation, because you have heard me speak many times about my family getting the land. Well, I was out on the land this week, and believe me, I was elated. And I'm in South Carolina. I won't say exactly where, but, you know, Dave, I'll hook you up. Listen, I want people to understand this. Our biggest problem, regardless of what happens, hear this very clearly. The detriment that will happen to you will determine your geographical location. You see, if you are surrounded in a city, then you are going to be victimized by rigid rulings. Now, what is rigid ruling? That means you're right there in the position for them to enforce whatever it is that they come across their mind. And the sad part about that is that the certain people can get out of that, and others think they cannot get out of it. Well, over the weekend, I talked to a prepping group, and they leased land. Did you hear what I'm saying? They lease land outside the city. Now, they only go there on weekends now, and they take turns. That way, their lease is being able to be sustained, and they can always, you know, inform the person that they're there doing certain things, and they're doing a few odds and ends. Mostly they're rebuilding the structure that's out there because they want to re-fortify it. And there's a barn there, so they were actually reinforcing the barn because they wanted to move supplies in it. But right now it was not able to be able to sustain. So I said, well, how do you pick up your costs on the back end? And he said, well, it's very simple, because every time we invest money in to the property, the owner allows us to deduct it off the lease cost. Now, I thought that was quite a unique situation. So naturally, I said, well, how many's in your group? He said, almost 80. I said, pardon me? He said, yeah, there's almost 80 in our group, and we have a lot of supplies, and this is one of the reasons why we targeted this facility, which is like 13 to 14 miles outside of Columbia, South Carolina. So,
wow.
The uniqueness of the thought process is really what I want to bring to your attention. Because people always say, look at their circumstance like they have no control over it. But you do. And this is why we must open the door to the ideas that regardless of what comes, in a proper mindset, you can literally alter your circumstance to be more feasible in diverse times. And so, you know what I did? I went right to the newspaper just to see how many owners that were considering leasing. Well, there's many of them. A lot of those farmers out there, that, even where I'm at, they are not farmers. They lease the land and they farm it for profit. And here's what's so unique about it. A lot of them did start out that way. Even this concept of these preppers leasing land didn't start out that way. You see, they were talking to somebody who talked to somebody. And they said, well, you know what? What about this idea? And the person said, you know what? I didn't think about that. Let's see. And their ability to open the door for knowledge about the idea, they stumbled across a situation that was suitable for them. And I'm quite sure he said they all get together like $5 or $6 a month. It's not really a lot of money when you talk about the number of 80 people, okay? And they give this money to one person. I think he said around about a 15th. So if it comes to first of that next month, they pay it just like it's any other bill. And I thought that was very dynamic thinking. And I said, you know what? I said, I would really mind having you guys possibly do a little thing on my radio show. They said, no. Now, here's unique, and understand why I'm saying that. When they said no, it was because they want to be able to have control of the idea for their situation in their part of the country. Now, when I said to them, well, is it that you don't want the idea? He said, no, I don't mind the idea getting out. He said, we just don't want people to know where we are. And there's a sincere logic there. And I said, you know what? When I think about that, that makes a lot of sense. He said, because if we do that, then those people who are accessible to our area, if something happens, guess where they're going to go? So when I sit down and I had this guy, we talked and we thought it was going to be 5 minutes in the store. So we ended up talking for about 2 hours or so because he was bringing in so many different avenues of thought. And one of the avenues of thought that he brought in was they put bees out there. Now, bees make honey, okay? So now what they did when they put the bees out there is they literally covered all of the fields. They have to, they turned the soil. They said they turned the soil, and then they planted red clover. And what does bees go to? Clover. That's why you hear clover honey. He said, so one of the byproducts of the bees is honey. And guess what? Now they sell it because the bees are doing so well. So I'm trying to get you to understand the enormity of the thoughts that have been collated together for them to come up with these avenues of making money in a circumstance that had nothing to do with the original idea of why they were out there. Because when I first talked to him, he said, well, you know, he talked to a friend who literally had a farm. And then when he talked to the friend, he realized the friend didn't have a farm. The friend was leasing the land. So you see how one thing builds on another thing, builds on another thing, builds on another thing, opens another door. So the more I talked to him, the more he said, well, look, I'm going over here to the flea market. I thought my wife would open it. So we go over to the flea market, and he introduces me to one of his friends. Now, this really blew my mind. This guy raises chickens, and he sells them. And he said he is doing this as a tool in diverse circumstances. So literally, he had about maybe 15 or 20 pens with maybe 4 or 5 chickens in a pen. He had a couple of roosters, too, you know. So as I talked to him, he was saying, well, it was really a relatively cheap investment to get into. He said, you know, I went out and I bought about 4 chickens. He said, that was less than $20. He said, and then I built a coop out here. He said, and then literally I talked to the neighbor, and I said, well, if you come over and collect the eggs, you can keep the eggs. Well, as he began to get more chickens, he began to see how resourceful it was. Because, you know, when you start out on something, you may not realize the magnitude of value that it has in the beginning. Well, now he's selling chickens at the flea market. I said, well, how well you do here? He said, well, people are catching on. He said, especially the Latino community around here. The Latino, he said, they're good for at least 10 or 15 chickens every week. He said, some of them, they just buy them to kill them and eat them. Because, you know, I talked to them about how they've been grown. And literally, they know that they're getting a good quality bird. And then most of them are free range because I have what's called a roving containment area. I said, oh, what? And here it's a fence. He's explaining this to me. It's a fence that literally it's collapsed like one of those slinkies. You know how you open them up and they close? Well, this is how this fence is. And he literally engulfs the chickens in different areas of the field where he can let them go and run free, and he'll feed them out there, and they'll poop out there and fertilize the field. I said, what? So you see, this is a constant growing process. Next to him was a lady that wasn't a part of their group, but she had lambs. Now, here's what she was telling me. She said when she started doing lambs, it was because her father had a small farm, and he raised lambs. But she didn't realize, I mean, when every year they get that wool on them, you know that wool constantly grows, and it has a value. And I didn't realize that. But she said when she started it, she was just doing it to sell them. And then she began to harvest the wool. And the wool was another attribute of making money. So these are why I said I'm going to discuss things called flocking and herding. Because there are so many different domesticated animals that have become profitable ideas and avenues for people that literally are not discussing it openly. But as more immigrants come to the country, they're finding, they're coming to them and buying live, their food live. Of course, most of them, that's how they were bought up. When they had chicken for dinner, they went out and killed it. And what's so unique about this is that when I was beginning to really get this information, and my wife walked up to me, and my wife is really into holistics, okay? So my wife got to talking to the lady about how she maintains them. And she was saying, well, no. I have certain sheep that she has milk with. So my wife said, oh, so you have sheep's milk. She said, well, I have sheep and goat's milk. But she has several goats, too. She said, well, why did you go there? She said, because of the demand. She said, I really didn't plan on going into goats. But the demand for goat milk is so high, and the goats can clear an area of pasture because of what they eat and how much they consume. You see, I'm trying to give you an understanding of how you can stumble across something that you may not even have given thought to, but can literally offer you an avenue. Now, I also asked about upkeep. Most of these animals require a scheduled feeding and water, period. Why? Because that's how they maintain the process. The guy with the chickens was telling me they have so many eggs now that when they pull them, a certain amount of them, they got to refrigerate right away so they can stop the process of the child being, the embryo being developed. And there's others where he puts into incubators because he wants to keep a certain count of chickens and certain kinds of chickens. So I'm going to tell you, it was a phenomenal weekend for me. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the farm that me and my family purchased. The farm has three ponds. I'm telling you. This is exciting. It has three ponds. It has about 40 acres cleared. And it's a lot of wooded area. And my brother said, well, we don't need to go back in that area with the original idea what we have. Because what we were going to do is we were going to put some dome houses out there, dome tunnels, 90 by 30, and we're going to do organics. And we were going to start off with one or two the first year and then expand as we begin to turn a profit with those. So naturally, I'm getting deeper into organics, and I'm finding out it's really not that technical as much as it is understanding your soil as well as the fertilization and no chemicals. But in the research that I'm doing, I'm finding out there's certain insects and certain birds that you want to have around an organic farm because they eat the insects that are a danger to the farm. So there's an ecological balance that is taking place here. So I'm going to tell you, this, the whole weekend was fascinating because every time I turned around, I was running into something else or someone else that was opening my horizons, okay? At the flea market, we were there, and this lady, she was making these baked potatoes. Now, before you don't know, I'm a vegetarian, so naturally this got my attention. But what she does is she sticks a shear through the baked potato and sticks it on a rotisserie. And you hear what I'm saying? So, you know, this really caught my attention. Now, how the rotisserie worked is that there was a chain link, like a fence, that laid between two rails. And all she did was rotate the potatoes. And she had, every once in a while, she would take a piece of, looked like a wood, and just roll the potatoes. And I'm going to tell you something. These bad boys was tasty. So I said to her, I said, well, how well do you do? She said, well, I sell an average potato for about $3 a potato. I said, well, I don't quite understand. She said, well, the reason why I sell it for $3 a potato is because I buy a 100-pound stack of Idahos. She said, but I try to do at least 3 events a week. And out of those 3 events a week, I might make $1,000 to $1,500. I said, well, do the potatoes do that well? She said, well, it's not so much potatoes do the well because the art is in their cooking. She said, but you get so many Idaho potatoes in a 100-pound bag. Do you understand the logic here? The balance of time and effort that's producing those sort of results. You see, we have to get out of the mindset of Westernism when it comes to our survival, because that is the program they want us to stay in. You see, when you're riding around the street and you see, and I'm quite sure many of you have seen the Spanish people on the corner selling fruit or flowers or whatever, see, and you're saying, oh, they make a few dollars. But you're not thinking about it in reference to the numbers. And see, they are. They know that they spent $50 for those flowers that day, and they go out there and they make 20 different bushels, okay? And they're selling them 20 different bushels from anywhere from $5 to $8. You know, you've seen the roses, the orchids, all that, in a small handful, okay? And they sell 20 to 25 of those. That's $100 to $125 for a $50 investment in one day. See, so there is a dynamic that is going on that we really have not given ourselves the personal respect to be able to open the door, because Westernism teaches you to have pride. You know, you've heard people say, oh, I'm not going to do that. Well, when I sit down and I started doing the math of what some of these people were saying, Spanish lady I met over there, she has a nice fruit market. She buys all of her fruit. Okay, she got a connection down at the fruit market in Charleston or someplace. And she goes down and she gets her fruit. She said she invests about maybe $800 or $900 with the transportation to get it back. It may be close to $1,000. I said, oh, yeah? I said, how well did you do? She said, oh, I'll make twice that. Because I, at the point when I'm getting low, or at the end of the day, I can lower the price and I can push it out quicker. And you know what? I'm sitting here saying, this is why you find so many people that are not of American descent that are in these flea markets, in these markets, and they're taking over because they're looking at it from a numerical value and not from a cash value. Because they know if they meet the numbers numerically, then they're going to make a profit cash-wise. That is a different distinction in the way most black people see their money today. See, they see their money for what it can buy. So if they only got $35 and somebody over here says, you got a deal and it's only $44, but you got $50 worth of stuff, Americans are taught to think that they got a bargain. And in reality, they don't have a bargain. What they're doing is they're giving up their resources for somebody who already has monopolized on theirs. And that's the same system that works in capitalism. It's just that we weren't taught that. Once again, we have become victimized by the predatory nature of capitalism. So I'm going to tell you, I'm really here because I love what I do. When I see the part of my spiritual nature is that if I can't make the world better, I don't need to be a part of it. When I go places, I try to add to the place so that I can become a part of what I'm doing there or what's going on there and be able to include what my personality can bring to a set circumstance to make it better. And not everybody, don't get me wrong, not everybody comes with the same kind of mentality. And not everybody's going to see eye to eye. And the most important thing is that we don't have to care about it. But Westernism teaches you to say, well, if that person thinks that way, I don't want to deal with them. The next thing you know, you're throwing away an opportunity because you're not talking to somebody based on the way you were brought up. We must change that. Because I'm going to tell you something. This, the land that we bought, let me tell you about the people who owned the land. The people who owned the land had the land for like 50 years in their family. And then when the brothers, when the rich passed away, they gave it to the brothers and sisters, and they broke it down into different pieces of the land. Well, the land that we have was owned by the oldest brother. And his mother and his aunt still live there. And they're well into their 90s easily. And I had an opportunity to spend time with them. But they pulled me and my brother and my eldest sister aside, and she said, you know, this land my brother really loved. The way these ponds are in here, he had a vision to be able to have one as an irrigation dish, one as a recreation dish, and another one for water for his plants. And he was starting this. He could see where he was growing. These are all overgrown now. But you could see where he had a garden here. He had chicken coop there. He, on the other side, he had cleared the area for pastures because he wanted to have horses. She said he wasn't into cows and that sort of thing, but he wanted to have horses for his kids. She said, but during his prime when he got sick, he was trying to get his children to take over the property. And everybody in the family was really kind of hurt because they really wanted to see the vision come to fruition. And it didn't. So they were hoping that the sister who wanted to sell this land was, the woman who wanted to sell this land was the husband, was the wife to the husband who passed away. So she wanted to really sell the land and move out because it really wasn't her family connection. It was his family connection. So when we got it, we had the opportunity to get it. We went on ahead and got it because you knew a lot of footwork looking for land. We went on ahead and got it. And these people, when we came down here over the weekend, because we were moving different things, we were building materials that we were going to work with, and we were actually cutting down. We had to remove a piece of the fence so that we could get the tractor trailers in there to unload the lumber that we were bringing in. I mean, it was a fiasco. And here's what made it even a festive occasion. These neighbors who own the land all around it, who are also a part of the same family, it must have been 50 of them. They gathered out there to talk, and they talked about the land and how the people were. And there was this old shack, I'm going to tell you, I would have never guessed it. But at one time, he would sell his food, his fruit, the vegetables, out of this old shack. And on the back part of the shack, all of them had put their names at one time or another. So I was getting a piece of history when this was going on. Now, there might have been 12 or 13 of my family members here because we were trying to unload it as lumber and store it and everything. And in the meantime, these people were pitching in. Understand the dynamic. Remember when Dave said he moved to Texas and they just had a disaster? And he went in and he started talking. And before you know it, he had said, lend a hand. And all of a sudden, the people were more receptive to it because of him being open to the need of the people of the community. Well, this is exactly how I felt in this weekend's experience. But I'm telling you all of this because as we approach these diverse times, don't think like Westernism teaches you. Because we're all in the same boat. See, what I didn't tell you was most of this family were poor white people. And they're beginning to realize, you know what? We're going to need fruits and vegetables because, you know, he used to just supply them. But my eldest brother said, well, when we're up and working, don't even worry about it because we'll make sure that we can at least fill that need. Now, understand the dynamic working here. I'm trying to show you that literally when you apply yourself into a circumstance and not give much of yourself, you can get a plethora of reward. And this is how we have to see our circumstances going in every diverse circumstance, every diverse situation. And if we don't, we sell ourselves short. And the reason why we sell ourselves short is because we're not looking at this situation and seeing how we can monopolize to our advantage. Not to hurt the community. And in most cases, if you are sincere and the idea works for the group, it's going to enhance the community. And it will enhance your position with the community. Now, I've given you a few ideas about people who are making money that didn't think they were going to make money that way. Because that was what they set out to do. But yet, they were able to do something. And I'm going to tell you something. These things are not beyond our grasp. Why? Because what are your habits? What is it that you like to do that you haven't had the time to do that if you ever did, you could probably turn a profit with? And the reason why I say that is because we're doing it. Make no mistake. 10 to 15 years ago, I would may have never even considered farming. I have to look at my brother a couple times and say, you know what, man, we're farmers. But it's a beautiful dynamic. And I'm trying to get you to understand that it wasn't the plan, but it turned into a possibility, and now it turned that possibility into a reality. So regardless of what your circumstances are, you can do something. We had talked to you about downsizing. Have you been to Craigslist lately? Have you been to some of these online places where people can sell their stuff? They're out there, and they are selling every and any. And I mean that. They're selling every and anything because now people are beginning to realize America wants you to be materialistic. That means they want you to have stuff. And when you have stuff, it's nice until you realize that stuff you have, you're not using. You're not really being able to benefit from it, other than it occupying a place in your house or in your storage or some cost that you may be paying to maintain it. So people are now taking that stuff and they're advertising to sell it. Now, some people are overboard. What do I mean by overboard? Well, they might have a 1962 Studebaker, and they want $15,000 for it. Well, that's not going to happen. Even if it's in mint condition, you know why? Because that's a specialty item. You got to go to specialty market to get a specialty price on a specialty item like that. But can it be sold? Absolutely. But see, you have to look at your circumstance. Walk through your house. Remember my wife and I said walk through your house with a pencil and a piece of paper. Look around. See what you really don't need. Put it on the list. And then after you get your list together, you sit down and you look at what your time is. And my wife told you, you can take a picture of it and put it on Craigslist or Auntie Anne's or whatever it is in your area that works. That's that list that people are getting certain stuff on. You'll be surprised at how much money you can get for stuff that you're not even using that has a certain degree of value to you that if you got the money in cash, you could find a better service for it. And this is what we're trying to get you to understand. You are in a better position right now to see what you don't need. You know why? Because you're really trying to prep. So now when you compare what you're prepping to what you got, you may realize some of the stuff you got, you really don't need, and if you was able to sell it, you could get some money together for your prepping. I will tell you something. It is exciting to me to be able to see things like this, even if I'm not a part of it. Why? Because it's going to benefit somebody. Somebody is going to benefit by you doing your due diligence and taking that excess resource and add to your prepping plan. And who knows? You might be fortunate like this group down here in Columbia, because the guy told me when they got into the leasing land, he never suspected that they would be where he's at. And guess what? If something does happen, now everybody in their group don't have to be inside the city. They have a place to go outside the city. And at that place they're preparing, they'll have at least know they'll have food, they'll have certain degree of amenities that they'll need. But the best part about it is that they took the bull by the horns and got the result that they wanted. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday, and I'm going to tell you something, my brothers and sisters, it's a great time to be alive. The sun felt good on my face, and it'll feel good on yours. But the best part about the sun feeling good on my face, this is what I wanted. I came out here to sit down in front of the sun and have it face me with as much warmth and love as it could. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give you as much warmth and love as I can. And I want to open as many doors as I can so that whatever happens in your preparation process right now, regardless of what you're working with, you can be able to turn it into something you need. And the best part about that is that something else less you have to worry about. And see, I didn't even talk to you about the seed guy. Oh, yeah, I read the seed guy because, you know, of course, we have seed. But this guy, what he does is he buys vegetables that he makes salads with, but he goes in and he pulls out the seeds and he dries the seeds out. Oh, he got tomato seeds, cucumber seeds. He got all these seeds. Now, here's the catch. He puts them in little plastic bags. He says what they are, and he puts a date on them. And he sells them. And he said that when he goes to this farmer's market, I mean, to this particular market, that he does very well. Now, I didn't get a chance to go into a lot of detail with him because he was talking about he had watermelon seeds, pineapple seeds, honeydew melon. He had all of these seeds. He had a Moscato seed. There's a very plump grape in the south of North Carolina, South Carolina, that's very popular, called the muscadine. It's one of the healthiest sources of many of vitamins and minerals in one plant. And these muscadines, they grow all over the place. And this guy was there, and he was saying, you know what, I got a bunch of muscadine seeds. And he said a lot of people, when they first get them, they don't know what they are because they're not from the area. But when they see how well they grow, they come back. Because it's really, some of them are a little bitter, but they're rather tasty, and they're made it every day. People down there make jams and jellies with them. They eat them raw. Yeah, yeah. But they're a little bigger than a grape. But it's kind of like the same kind of grape flavor. I'm quite sure Scotty can identify with what I'm saying. But literally, they're out of season, but he got the seeds there. So he said, you know what, you guys might want to buy these, because when he found out we were from, you might want to buy these so that you could just put them in certain areas around the fencing of your farm. He said, and that way when they grow up like a bush against the fence. So literally it adds to the foliage as well as giving you fruit. So there's a lot of things that we can do, and we're coming up on the first break. So let me remind you, this is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. It's a great opportunity just to have the time to be on a commercial talking, on a radio talking to you. So I want you to seriously consider, after this break, calling. Because there's a lot of things my wife and I have been doing a lot of research. She's not with me right now, but a lot of times we want to say something, but we forget about it. And then after the show's on, we meant to say this, we meant to say that. Well, that's because we didn't get a chance to get to that point, because no one was openly enough calling us saying, well, asking us questions so that we can open up that dynamic of thought. And that's really what we want to do. So, those of you out there, number is 866-510-9025. Give us a call after the break, because after the break, I really want to open the door to how people are taking money, old money, and turning it into new money. So this is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. Give us a shout after the break.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, we're back. Now, one of the things that I thought was unique about my weekend was...
Brother Davis, you have a caller in queue.
Okay, well, give me the call, Dave.
Okay, caller with the area code 702. You're on with Brother Davis. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hi, this is Angela from Denver. And
oh.
Am I on?
Hello, Ed. Yes, you are. Welcome to Panda Radio.
Thank you. I have a question. You just mentioned the plant. I didn't quite get the name and where I can get it from.
Okay, the name of the plant that I was speaking about was a muscadine. A muscadine Yes, it's a
I can find it.
Hey, Brother Davis.
Yes, it's called a muscadine.
Brother Davis. It's in North Carolina, we call them muscadines.
Okay, there you go. Scotty knows exactly what I'm talking about. He's called a muscadine. Okay. So how do you spell that, Scotty?
Musty and dime,
spell it? I'm not sure, but I can look it up for you.
Well, I'll find it. I wanted to know, like, how do I source it? I heard you talk about this particular guy, so I wanted to see how do I source it. I'm in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, let me say this here. There are plants indigenous to Colorado that will be easier selections for that area. Now, what makes the muscadine so unique in the area that it's in? It's because it's not tropical, but it's a warmer than normal climate. The southeast literally is an excellent area for that to grow. I don't know how well it will grow there, but I wouldn't discourage it. So if you look
up, that's what I was thinking to try.
Yeah, if you look up muscadine, you could find whether it grows in that area and if so, how well. Because don't get me wrong, because I do know it's a sun fruit. So it requires sun, and you get quite a bit of sun out there. So maybe the sun season is long enough.
Yeah, it's spelled.
Maybe the sun season is long enough for it to grow.
It's spelled.
So I would encourage you to look it up.
It's spelled M.
Okay, well, thank you.
It's spelled M-U-S-C-A-D-I-N-E, and it is like a grapevine species that's native to the southwestern and south central United States from Florida to Delaware.
Okay, thank you for that information. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Do you have any more questions?
That's all I had. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, look, feel free to call in at any time, and please keep Candle Radio on your dial and Black Talk Radio always 24/7 is programming for you.
Always. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sister. Okay, what I wanted to mention to you again was the Check'em Stand. Now, that sounds strange, don't it? Check'em. Well, here is an old guy, and what he does is he specializes in old coins. But people always come to him, and they say, I have all this big bag of coins, and he pours them out, and they want him to look at them. So what did he do? He bought a larger space. He put tables and chairs, and he said, listen, this is what I do. I'll charge you $1 for a chair. You come in and check your coins. Get the oldest coins out, and then you bring those coins to me. And that way, I could tell you if they have any value, or I could tell you if I'm interested in purchasing them. But don't take them to a coin machine, because a coin machine does the very same thing, only they give you the cash value of the coin, where you might have nickels, dimes, and pennies in there that might be worth $10 here, $15 there. But you wouldn't know that. And the machine's not going to tell you, because the machine is designed to check and pull those coins out. That adds value to the market. And most of the places that have those machines, no, they are getting coins that people are just literally bringing in. They're getting coins, the valuable coins out of there, and they're making a profit off of them that person didn't realize it was here in the first place. Interesting, huh? Well, check this out. A guy came in with an old box of money, American dollars. It might have been maybe $120, $130. But the newest dollar was like a 1928. So he got so excited, he said, excuse me. And he took the customer and pulled him aside and said, here, you keep this so after the market closes, and then you come back. Because then we could go over this. But he knew something about what he saw when he opened that box. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't have the knowledge that he has. But I can tell that was old printing on that money. It looked like it was regular green dollars, so it was probably money that was, you know, minted real early. But the way he acted, I could tell that now he's making his hobby to another level. Who knows what those dollars are going to produce, or how much the person who bought them is going to profit, and how much profit it's going to offer him. So, and it's called check it. And I'm going to tell you, when I walked over to him, what's his check it mean? And then he had all this here, you know, in a case of coins in there, and he was selling the coins. And really, he said, this is my lore. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, when people see that and they come over here, then they start talking about coins they might have. And I said, well, bring them in. He said he makes more money than getting the coins that fall off from the profits of other people because they didn't know what they had. He'll tell them what they had to a certain degree. But don't get me wrong. Now, I do believe that he probably has something else going on, too. But yet still, he is opening an avenue for other people to come to him. And guess what? He had no problem. I know there had to be 20, 25 people. So that's $20 or $25. That's what I'm saying. You hear what I'm saying? And literally, he'll walk through, and he might ask, "Oh, well, maybe hold on to that." You see what I'm saying? He won't go into what it is because he has to check something else when he brings it. But people come up to him, and they might come in with 200 or 300 coins, and then hold out 25 or 30, and he'll check them, and that 25 or 30. Points might add in the $150, $200 in value that they did not know they had. And then he'll say the things like to them, here, this is in the book right here. This is the what they call, what was that term he used? Yeah, it was circulated and uncirculated. It's circulated and uncirculated is something else. But literally, the dynamic that I want you to see is that he's taking his hobby into a profit mold by doing something that's serving the community. And I love that. I love that because the more I talk to this guy, and he didn't mind talking about it, because all he does is take a dollar from somebody who comes in and gives us a, you sit right over there, and each place where they sit, they got one of those little lamps. You know, they might be $3 or $5 or something. And they can turn on their lamps so they can look good. He sells magnifying glasses. I'm going to tell you, the guy got a nice little hookup. And he's all, man, this isn't what I intended to do, but this is how it evolved. So I'm trying to point out to you, brothers and sisters, you may not see the possibilities that are right at your door. And if you do, take the time to examine closely, what's your skill set? What do you like? What do you admire? You may realize that you have a potential income that's right at your fingertips that you never tapped into before. This gives you another avenue to bring your sources into prepping and put yourself in a better position than the present position you're in. Now, I've hit you with a number of different dynamic ideas already. And, you know, the best part about it is any one of you can operate in any one of those ideas. And don't leave it to just coins, because literally that's what I saw. But he was saying, you know, if you look at those shows like, some kind of show comes on PBS where they people bring in what they think is antique. And they
Antique
tell them
Roadshow.
Down. Okay, yeah, whatever it is. What he was telling me, that was the concept that he really was following up on, because people were bringing him coins but was asking him, you know, what they were about. And before you know it, he parlayed that concept into a business. So literally, Antique Roadshow, that's the name of the show. That's what he's doing, only in a flea market with coins. I'm going to tell you, man, this has been an exciting week. And I couldn't wait to get back to you guys. Why? Because a lot of times I hear people call and say, you know what, I really want to do this, but I don't have that. I really want you to be able to go out and buy this, but I don't have that. Well, I really want to give you ideas that allows you to get the resources to go out and get that. If you want to be a part of what you're doing, Then all I'm asking you to do is consider if this fits. Because not every shoe is going to fit your foot. But these are ideas that people are taking and turning something basic, a hobby, an interest, and they're turning it into a profit. And believe me, if they can do it, you can do it. You just got to find your niche. And believe me, as I was enjoying my weekend, now, this is just a side note. With the people we bought this farm from, they had, the one lady pulled me aside. She said, can I ask you something? I feel like, since we're going to be neighbors now. And I said, sure. She said, come here once. And she took me across the street, because she had a nice double wide over there. And we went inside. And by this time, I'm real curious now. She goes in the back, and she comes out, and she has two children with her. One was about maybe 5 or 6, and the other one's 8. They were her mixed grandchildren. And she looked at me, and she said, I know there's something about being black that black people don't discuss with us being white people. But I love my grandchildren, and I would like them to know whatever it is that they should know as black children. Because though they're mixed children, I want them to know as much about their black side as their white side. She said, and they're around the white side all the time. And you know what? That kind of touched me. And I told her, I said, well, you know what? I will be moving down to this area probably within the next 6 to 8 months. I mean, really position my family. I said, I'll take it my point to spend some time with them every week, even if they just come over and help me gather eggs or whatever. But she introduced us, and they seem to be very nice children. I mean, you could tell that they needed certain things like the hair done and that sort of thing. And I'm glad my wife wasn't with me, because that would have went into another whole, because she would have started doing it. That's just Erica's nature. But I told her to bring them over, and, but the rest of the family, and I said I didn't realize this, the rest of the family is uncomfortable behind something that happened with her daughter that produced these children. So she said, I don't like to really take in the family events like that. I said, well, I'll tell you what, as we become more and more acclimated to the community, I would like them to become more acclimated to us. And she said, well, whatever that means, I'm in agreement with. Because I'm going to tell you something. I understand what I said. These are not rich people. They have land. But you can be poor and have land if you don't know or have the resources, or your children are out there to help you do the work and make it profitable. And that's the problem with a lot of people in the South. A lot of people who have land, their children left, got educated, and never looked back. And little though it was said, a lot of black families have lost some beautiful properties down there because of that. Because the families age out, they can't afford to maintain the taxes. Before you know it, they're just trying to live, taking care of each other. Well, I think we bring a new dynamic in. And I'm hoping with that new dynamic, we can do some things to help other people too. So that was just a little side note. You never know. Regardless of what you think you're going through, somebody else is going through something also. And sometimes you can be a solution or part of the remedy to at least ease or soothe that to make it a little bit better. Okay, let's moving forward. I want to point out that down here,
Brother Davis.
Yes, brother. Does the phone call?
Yes. No, it's me. I have a question or a comment related to what you just said, which is absolutely true.
Okay. Come on, Scotty.
Yeah, where you were talking about, especially black people having land in the South, and then, their children moved, up north during the Great Migration and never came back and never, send any money home to help them pay for the taxes and whatnot. Fortunately, my family doesn't have that problem. There's a large number of us, and And you will see oftentimes, you know, the children moving into the houses that, you know, the parent, where the parent has died and whatnot. And so I've seen this several generations just passing it on, passing it on, passing it on. Or the children will build a house or pull a trailer up on the property, you know, and then we all chip in and pay the taxes. But another thing that I'm trying to get my family to look at, and for those people who are losing land due to they can't keep up with the taxes, is looking into establishing nonprofits called family land trusts. So I think that's a solution to that problem.
Absolutely. But you know what, Scotty? We must have the avenues open to them so people can see this as an option. And I'm in total agreement with you, because that information they keep from black people. And they keep it because they want that land. Make no mistake, there's going to be a major land grab in America over the next 5 years. Why? Because the food supply is going to be so inundated with GMOs that those people who do have land are going to start moving to growing a better quality of product so that they can meet the demands of the market. And at the end of the day, it's for profit. And I want you to think.
You get a chance, Brother Davis.
Okay, I don't want you to think for any minute that I'm in this here because of the joys of my heart. I would like to pull a profit out of this. I would like to be able to, when my kids or grandkids are ready to go to college, that we can say, here, you can go to any school in the country. Okay, Dave.
Man, fantastic. You know, absolutely right. This is what Scotty said and what Brother Davis was saying. This whole show has been so important. Just to let you know, Brother Davis, when you're talking to the coin person, they were talking about the circulated, uncirculated. It was all, the other term that they probably was telling you was BU.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, BU.
And I had no experience with that, so you could see how, for the first time, they kind of said, okay, let me see how that dynamic works. But
you pick everything up so quick. You pick everything up so, you're just like a sponge. With everything, I'm gonna tell you, that's one thing about Brother Davis, and from everything that I've known about Brother Davis, is like a sponge. He just absorbs everything and he compartmentalizes as how he can effectively use it and pull it off the shelf at a pro, because he knows that everything that comes before him is for a reason and he's going to store it. So Brother Davis, you always exemplify that, and I truly do appreciate that.
Well, you know, Brother Dave, I always appreciated you, man. We've collaborated on a number of things, and even the way we met, people would think was unusual, but yet it was dynamic simultaneously. So, Brother, one of the things about we are the perfect example of how you can build light where there was once darkness. Because I'm going to tell you something. Before Scotty opened the door to Black Talk Radio, it was darkness. Now he's given light to so many different things that he's offered us an avenue to add to the brilliance of that light, the illumination. And let me tell you something. It's exciting to me. It's so exciting that I make a regular investment. Now, don't get me wrong. This is a plug. So don't misunderstand. Anytime you value something to put your time in listening, reading, or utilizing the tools that come from it, then you should be supporting that. Why? Because it is there for you when you need it. Then you should be there for it when it needs you. And the best part about that is that you get a beautiful shirt. I got me several shirts. My grandchildren got several shirts. But it's just a byproduct of showing love. And that's really what I'm doing. I'm just trying to show you love. Not telling you I love you, but I'm giving you my love through an action. Just like Dave and everybody else here at Black Talk Radio. Okay, now, getting back to the subject matter, I also wanted to point out to you young people out here now that you already have a building skill that you deal with every day. But you know what? You don't see it that way because of the way the Western perception. Why? Because Western perception teaches you the odyssey. They don't teach you how to make money with it. And see, I'm going to tell you, how many young ladies you see braiding hair? You see it all the time. Well, there was a girl at the flea market who set up these ladies the red hair at the flea market, talking about parlaying entrepreneurship. And here's what she does. She has a page in the weekly merchandise or whatever it is where if she people want their hair braided, they can call and make an appointment. And that way, say she said, if I get 25 or 30 people and I'm going to be here for a day, then I got to call more people. And the more people I call who braid hair, literally, when they come once and they begin to see the money they can make, they're eager for that phone call. Because she said, now, say a person wants to come in and just want basic cornrows, well, that might run $20, but she'll charge $25. That way the girl who does the hair gets the $20 and she gets the $5. So you understand what I'm saying? She literally is taking something that she grew up with. Oh, and by the way, the more unique the style, the more the cost. You see what I'm saying here? So I said, well, what do you use? She said, well, I discussed it. So I prefer to use one of the oils, either shea butter oil or bergamot oil. She got all this stuff. She's running right back at me. I said, well, are you a hairdresser? She said, well, I do hairdresser. She said, but I do hair. But I got away from that because, literally, I didn't like hot irons. But we do hot iron work. She definitely pointed that out. She said, I just don't do it myself. I call people who do that sort of thing. She said, it depends. Now, if a person's not going to come in for one person, then they might only make $20, $25. But if I got three or four people that day, it's worth them coming in. She said, we got washers over here. You know, look, there's about three or four girls that don't get them a wash hair. And they're washing the hair for the same girls who's literally braiding hair. And see, what's interesting is that she said that why she could do it this way is because she only uses natural oils and she doesn't use any chemicals. Now, the people who do this, she said, she told me now, the people who straighten the hair, they have to have a chemical. But they, most of them are licensed. She said, I can't have them in here unless you're licensed. So she said, but that's not our main line of business. Our main line of business are these hip-hoppers, kids out of high school or going to college or some old people who just want to get their hair braided because they don't want to do nothing to it all week. So we got people that come in here every week and get their hair done, their hair braided, just like at the barbershop. I said, get out of here. She said, oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, it was an exciting weekend. But do you really see what I'm trying to say to you? How they're taking out of their life something that's always been there, and they're generating a profit with it. Now, you know, I never asked this girl if she was in the prepping or not, but she's counting money. So this is something that she definitely has incorporated as a way of her life and a way of instilling cash flow into her life. But, brothers and sisters, there are a lot of things that we can do that we're not doing. One girl was telling me now, she got to stand in there, and all she does is she directs people to, she's one of those ladies who does the nails. She directs people to her shop. She's right in there where they're doing their hair and everything, and she's talking to them young sisters and professionals. She said, oh, these are the styles I do. She got her nails done in three or four. Each nail's done something different. She said that she does that so she can give them an idea of her work. I said, well, you come in here on a Saturday? She said, well, I don't have my clients. So I don't have a lot of clients. I knocked about five people out this morning. I said, really? She said, oh, yeah. She said, I went in. I started making appointments at 7 o'clock. She said, by 11 o'clock, I was looking up saying, time to go to the flea market. She said, but I designed my schedule on Saturday like that because there's some Saturdays I got whole wedding parties and that sort of thing. She said, but this place has brought so many other people into my shop that it's worth it for me to come here and just show people some of my personal work and what I do. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm just a person coming to the market, to the flea market. I didn't realize all of this was going on. But just, the more I seen this, the more I said, you know what? My people can do this themselves. Some people talking about, you know what? I don't know if we have enough cash to do this or enough cash to do that. These are avenues where they can incorporate their hobbies in order to achieve that what they're trying to do. And guess what? I believe you can do it. The first avenue of getting something done is to believe that you can do it. And listen, failure is only a stepping stone to success. Westernism doesn't teach you that. You know, Westernism teaches, oh, you failed, get out of here. That's what they teach you. Oh, you did, you couldn't do it, you failed, you couldn't do it, get out of here. But we have to understand, not every great athlete won every race. Not every great artist made a perfect portrait. So those things that you didn't see, they could tell you about. But we cannot let the mindset of Westernism stop us from achieving in diverse circumstances. Now you see all this stuff that's going on all around the country. Now see, for those of you who don't know, 90% of it is man-oriented, man-made, man's initiating it. And the sad part about it is they're doing it based on their own greed. Evil is a very, very litigious and vicious animal. What do I mean? I mean they'll study you just like a snake. Slowly move and stop when you look so it blends in with the environment. But its attempt is to kill you, to eliminate you. And guess what? They do it because it's their nature. They don't do it because they have to. You've heard the fable about the scorpion and the frog. It's his nature. And even when they know it'll kill them, they do it anyway. Perfect example is Monsanto's. What is GMOs going to do to the world? What is it going to do for the world? It's killing people. But yet, Monsanto is one of the strongest companies in the industry, and to put an accent on that, never in the recorded history of America has a company had enough power for Congress to pass a law that says, i.e., if you die because of a product that we make, a byproduct that we make, or something that can be traced back to us, so what? You can't do nothing about it. Never in history has that happened. So we have to take full and complete charge of our lives. And these tools that we are using are not to offend anyone. They are ordered, we're putting them out here to build us. Because I'm going to tell you something. These are the same things they're trying to take away from you. They're trying to take away your right to fresh air. They're trying to take away your right to good food. So why wouldn't they try to take away your right to be able to profit by your personal skills? They're already trying to take away your right to judge your children and to take care of their household the way you want to. Yes, we are under attack, but we can do something about it. And we can't do something about it one at a time. We're going to have to start reuniting our resources. Just like that group of 80 down in Columbia that put their money together and they leased land, we could do that with the right ideas in order to approach our areas of legislation on the local level and prevent things from happening in the areas we are in. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people who are connected with politics and the dangers of society today are saying, man, you don't need to be getting people to think like that because somebody's going to notice you and you could be in trouble. Well, guess what? Change never came without there being some trouble. And we're going to have to initiate change because guess what? We're being the victims of the circumstance. So let's be for real about this. Don't tell me you love me. Work with me. That'll show me you love me. And guess what? Now, if I work with you and you got somebody else and all of a sudden we're working with each other and we're not looking at each other from the corporate differences that Westernism wants us to see because they do. They want you to look at that person beside you and say, you know what? You don't look like me. How can you think like me? They don't want you to see that you are two different people in the same boat who need to work the current. And guess what? If you are pedaling the boat left and I'm pedaling the boat right, we will not get where we're going. But if we communicate and we pedal this boat together in reference to where we're trying to go, we can do this. This is exactly why we have Black Talk Radio, Tando Radio. We have the different shows that are on here. From the BIB entrepreneurs to there's a plethora of shows here. And all of it is to give you information, tools, keys that you can turn to make sure that you become more adept in a given circumstance. And if you don't believe me, turn on Black Talk Radio any hour today. I'm going to tell you, I turn it on sometime and I hear stuff that might have been a recording about history. And I'm saying, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know how connected Castro was to Africa. But guess what? When I turned on Black Talk Radio, I caught a recording one night. And in that recording, it was talking about how Castro was sent Cubans to Africa to fight off Westernism. I didn't know that. We can become informed and empowered, but we got to make sure that we do the things to open the doors for us to utilize the keys that are being presented to us. I didn't realize that the prison industrial complex is more or less a national product here in America. You understand how I said that? A product means that it's continuously manifested to perpetuate itself and have offspring. What is offspring? Offspring is people who are literally being victimized so much that they're going to make money on top of money, on top of more money, on the labors of people who might not have ever committed a crime. It was at the wrong place at the wrong time. They don't care. So somebody has to. And I'm glad Black Talk Radio does. I'm glad Dave called me up and gave me the opportunity to collaborate with him so that we can do what we can do, that we're doing. And you know the best part about it? You. You who are listening. You who are taking the time out of your day to say, you know what? I believe when I listen to this show, it offers me something I can grow with or grow by. So literally, you're contributing to where we're going. And we welcome and thank you, because the more we get the word out, the more people come to Black Talk Radio. The more we get the word out, the more they'll understand the BTR community. And don't get me wrong, I'm still trying to figure out BTR community. Why? Because right now I've been inundated with trying to get the farm up, trying to get the cash right, trying to get my family on the same page. So what I'm doing here with you guys, you are my extended family. And when we're all on the same page, and you can go ahead and come to Black Talk Radio and say, you know, we got an affair going on here, we'd like you to just talk about it, then we want you to be able to open that door so that we can at least bring it to the community in that area that may be listening. This is Brother Davis. I don't want to be a babbling to you. This is Black Talk Radio. Are we due for another commercial, Scotty? Because we're going to the next commercial. Remember, this is the last half hour.
Yes, anybody, Brother Davis.
With a phone, with anybody with an idea or who can add to the show with a situation, call us up here at Tando Radio, because here we like to have interaction in our conversation. A dialogue, like Dave says, is much better than a monologue. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. Looking for you. I'll be right back.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It's your brother Davis coming at you. I know another thing I wanted to mention about flea market. I met a beautiful young sister there. She might have been 12. And she wrote a book on tea. Now, really caught my wife's attention really first because my wife's really into holistics. And this, she started talking about how her mother and her grandmother always grew teas in her yard and the herbs and that sort of thing, and it got her interested in it. So, literally, she wrote a book, and she talks about, I think it's about maybe 10 or 15 different herbs in this book. But she talks about a little bit about herbs and give you a little bit of story about how she was introduced to herbs. And then she gives you a mix of the different herbs to get different teas. And she tells you a little bit about the what the teas are good for. They're good for colds, they're good for this. But I thought that was dynamic. Now, one of the reasons why I thought it was dynamic was because of her own personal initiative, one. Two, the person that literally helped her write the book is an internet publisher. And he literally does books for professionals. But he said that when he met her, he was so taken by her and what she had to say and what she was selling, then he sat down and talked to her parents. And before you know it, this child and them collaborated. And now she goes around in different places and selling her book. Needless to say, I bought three of them. I bought one for me. I bought one for my my son's children. And I bought one for my daughter's children. Now, the reason being is because not only do I want them to know what the herbs are, but I want them to see the entrepreneurship of the child so young. And these are the tools that are at our beck and call. Our children are literally fountains of information that they want to, as they aspire to put out there. And we got to be focused enough to help. So this is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. Is there any calls, Brother Dave?
There is one caller in queue right now. I was just about to let you know. Area code 815, caller, you're on with Brother Davis. What is your question or comment?
Good evening, Brother Davis.
Good evening, my brother. How are you?
Great, great. What's up, L.A. Dave?
What's up, brother? How you doing? My man. What's up, bro?
Not much. I know we pressed for time. I have two questions for you, Brother Davis. It's a pleasure talking to you. One question is, how can a college student prepare while they're in school? And the second question is, what strategies or plans can a family have for an intruder coming in or kids when they're at home and an intruder will come in?
Okay, actually, I'm going to tell you, let me first start with the school strategy. Because one thing about going to school, in most cases, you're not going to be local enough to get to your home, in most cases. So literally, you have to, at this point, before there's a great need, you have to examine all of the avenues of how you can get in and out the city. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of them are going to be shut down. And the reason why they're going to be shut down is because they're going to control the flow of people going outside the city. Understand how I said that. Because they're going to allow people to come in the city, especially those people that are coming in for the purposes they want them to serve. So they're going to have to seriously consider early about the cues that they're going to look for before they really decide to go and have a design plan on how they're going to do it. That might be just keeping half a tank of gas in the car or a full tank of gas in the car. Okay, just as a side note, I got a friend who has a pickup truck that has about a 25-gallon tank. Well, he put an auxiliary tank on there to take him up to another 75 or 100 gallons. So therefore, when he fills his tank up, he can almost cross the coast across the whole country. See, so he has a plan together just in case that situation. So that person has to plan ahead of time and look for the clues that allow him to get out in the nick of time. All right? When it comes to your home, let me answer this here. Because, see, a lot of people fail to realize the simplest thing you could do as an alarm is get a small dog. dog will let you know anytime somebody's coming to the door, let you know anybody, somebody's around the house, because they bark. They make that noise. It's just a little alarm. I got two of them in my truck all the time. I'm telling you from experience, okay? When it comes to children coming home from school, right now they have software that you can literally put on your cell phone. When your kids come in, you can look at them come through the door on the camera sitting right here on your table. So there are avenues. If you can't afford that, then you need to have them make a connection. What is that connection? As soon as they come in, they call you. Or as soon as they get home, they call a neutral person that knows that they, you would feel comfortable if they knew they were there. You see, because ultimately, if they come home and there's no one there, your fear isn't the fact that they're going to have a problem getting in. Your fear is the fact that somebody's going to break in. So you teach them little things. Put in a angle a chair under the doorknob. That way, if somebody tries to push in, they're going right against that chair that holds them if they get past the locks. Also, you can put a bell with a regular needle and thread. That thread, you can put that there across the door, the screen door in the front. So if that door is open, that bell rings. It ain't got to be a loud ring. These are just movies and tools that you could use to your advantage. If I was in the city, I would have it all on my windows. I would have my windows boobied so if somebody tries to push it up, they would hit something that would drop a bell or drop something that would make a loud enough noise that I would know that somebody is trying to get in my house. These are all tools. And you can go out and buy a little bell for $2 or $3, okay, and then just set it up here so that as soon as somebody tries to lift the window, that bell falls off the edge, hits the other edge, and then falls to the floor. You're going to hear that. Why? Because it breaks the silence in your house. And anytime that happens, you're going to know something is going on that you literally planned for, so now you can move to your evasive action. Did any of that help you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wanted to contact you off air as well. Is that possible?
Okay, well, let me tell you this. Do you have Dave's number?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Dave, give me my number.
I sure will, Brother Davis. And this is T's good people, Brother Davis. I sure will.
All right, Brother, look, I'm on the road most of the time, so you can call me about anything. If I'm asleep, my wife will tell you, and if I'm not, I'll gladly take the call.
I appreciate it.
Not a problem, brother. Thank you for calling. I appreciate you listening.
Thank you. Always love and respect, man.
All right. So is there anything else? Any other calls, Dave?
No, sir. No other calls right now, Brother Davis.
Okay. The last thing I wanted to get to, because it's hard for a lot of people. This is hard. I'm going to read you. Let me repeat that. This is hard for a lot of people. You got to exercise. You got to get out and walk. Got to get that heart rate up. Got to start doing things. You're going to make sure that you are physically equipped to get out of circumstance. And I'm going to tell you something. When I say it's hard, it's because of how you perceive it. And the reason why I say it's hard is because a lot of times people don't want to put it in their schedule as a dynamic. What is a dynamic? Something that you purposefully do. See, my wife has this thing where she wants me to always park the truck the furthest away from the building, the furthest away from the mall, the furthest. I find I'm doing that with the car now. But you know what? I'm finding out when I got out here to that family farm and I'm walking up over the hills and dales, I wasn't as tired. You don't realize that until you get into a situation like that. Believe me, when we was walking, when we was walking that farm, some of the places were smooth and they were easy to walk, but some of them were demanding. And some of the woods we went through, I had to pick up a stick, get me a walking stick. But it only made me realize that there's an area of my life that I got to start giving more attention to. And if I got to do it, chances are someone else got to do it. I'm down to one meal a day. I told y'all, what, 5-6 months ago, I was working on my food. I'm down to one meal a day. And I eat that meal between 3 and 5 in the afternoon. Why? Because that's really when I need most of my energy. Now, when I get up in the morning, don't get me wrong, I drink a glass of water. My water has apple cider vinegar, and it also has lemon juice. Now, I also, for those of you who have heard me say this but not have picked up on it, I've also been sitting water in shungite. Now, please, do do some research on shungite. S-H-U-N-G-I-T-E, shungite. This is a natural mineral. It is a super mineral. It is a healer. It is a regenerator. It literally protects you from radiation, or should I say radioactive waves. And I put my water and this shungite together the night before. I let it sit all night. When I get up in the morning, I get me a 16-ounce container, and I fill that up 3 to 4 quarters, almost full, with that shungite water. Then I put in maybe 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, and I give it a healthy maybe good quarter ounce to a half ounce of lemonade. Not lemonade, but lemon juice. And that's how I start my day. And I'm going to tell you something. It rejuvenates your body. It neutralizes all the acids that the body build up during the night, and it has an alkaline base, so it starts perpetuating the alkaline production in your body. And these are the type of things they are only a part of the whole. See, I'm gonna tell you, I gotta do more exercise. I gotta get a bike or something. I used to have a single cycle, a skipping cycle. I was quite sure y'all seen them on TV. I bought one for my first truck. And you know, I'm gonna tell you something. When I was on that skipping cycle, I didn't really think about it. But when I started going into the other trucking companies, I took the skipping cycle out because I was trying to move it from truck to truck. But I need that skipping cycle, man. I didn't realize how much of a tool it was in my life and how much I was using it, because literally when Erica started driving, I could put the sitting cycle beside her while she's driving, and me and her be talking, and I'd be there a half hour, 40 minutes before I realized, you know what, I gotta get me some sleep. But I got that cardio in, and I didn't think about the important role that it played. Another thing, those things that are tools that we have, you know, you all got them. You got them, the things that you bought that you intend to use that helped you get in shape, and you didn't, we got to use them. I got to the point now where I got up this morning, first thing I did was I started doing push-ups. Why? Because I want to build my upper body. How many did I do? I ain't telling you. And when you first start, you ain't got to tell nobody. But now when you get up to 10 or 15 a session, hey, we ain't talking about it because you can fall down. But I'm going to tell you something. Regardless of where you are and what state you're in, mental, physical, or spiritual, you are never at a point where you cannot start to do something that's going to make a difference in time if you do it consistently. And this is exactly what we do here at TNO Radio. We're giving you some tools that you can utilize and be consistent with and become better at. So if you do your hair, you got an idea. If you like to plant, garden, you got an idea. If you like to just go for walks, you got an idea. But incorporate it to be able to add to society. Because I'm going to tell you something. The world, this universe is nothing without your contribution. Really. Every time I meet somebody, I'm delighted with the company. I mean, I may not have enjoyed it all, and we may not see eye to eye. But understand how I said that. Because you don't have to please me, I don't have to please you. But if we can come together and just conversate over a cup of coffee or dinner, like Dave and I did, or even kick back and sit on the floor, it's all. We are doing things that make us better people. Understand us here at Tando Radio, here at Black Talk. We only want to add to your life. We don't want to take nothing away from you. Unless you give it to us, and we take what you give us, and we told you what we need. But other than that, we don't want to take nothing, so we want to add to your life. So we're here. We're down to the last segment now. Anybody got a call, got a question, bring it in. Because at this stage of the game, I didn't hit all of the points I wanted to hit. I can never reemphasize enough about the exercise. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not limited to any one person. And when I say stuff like that, I talk to me first. Why? Because I look in the mirror every day. Don't get me wrong. I like what I see. But it can be better. I can improve on it. And I hope you all feel the same way. So this is Brother Davis on Black Talk Radio on a wise Wednesday. I'd like to get the show back to Dave a little early so he can get some words of wisdom in. And Brother Dave, I appreciate the time that you give me on a Wednesday night. Brother Scotty, you're more than a friend, brother. You are making this work. And I appreciate that. But y'all, thanks for coming to checking out Brother Davis on Wise Wednesday, and I look forward to seeing you again next week for another show of Wise Wednesday, Brother Davis. Peace.
Brother Davis, I would just say another magnificent show. So much information. It is, you know, I just really, really appreciate you and Sister Davis and who you are. And there isn't anything that we give it collectively, and we share everything. And I absolutely, absolutely appreciate you, Brother Davis. Big ups to my man T that called in with two great, great questions. Brother Davis, phenomenal, phenomenal show. So we're getting ready to get out of here. Before we get out of here, I would just say for my man T, T, definitely give me a call. And one of the things I want to say from one of the questions that T had about children being home with an intruder, I would definitely say, and I know Brother Davis would definitely agree with me, and Scotty would agree, and most people would agree on this. One of the first things that we have to do is that we have to re-indoctrinate our children because of what society continues, the schooling and the domestication that goes out. What society and the schools do is they teach our children to be afraid. And they naturally don't come out, and they do not enter with that spirit of fear and that physical outward displaying of fear, where fear cripples them. I say one of the first things that's very, very important for our children, if you have multiple children or just one child, you have to break what the society is doing in way of bringing in fear. And I would definitely say, one, don't, in my opinion only, don't allow them to watch things that's going to garnish their fear, scary movies and things of that nature, because what it really is doing is it's compiling on all of the indoctrinations to giving in the fear to paralyze them, okay? If they're ever faced with an intruder, one of the first things, and I've seen this from my former profession, there was a child that had to deal with an intruder. The way that child was able to deal with that intruder is because that child was never taught to fear. That child was actually he did a lot of motor cross riding and everything else. So he conquered a lot of fears. So when that intruder came into his house, he actually was able to think without being afraid. And he knew the importance of it all, of noise discipline and everything else. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to teach our children not to be afraid, and then start to develop a plan and a course for action of hiding, you know, and everything else. And another great thing that you want to do is you want to give your children, we have to take the kid gloves off of our children. We have to tell them the truth. I never, ever, ever told my children purposely a lie. Well, I did one time, I did one time with my youngest, and it was no good reason, but it was. Well, I'm gonna say this way: a politician will lie to you to keep you from the truth. An artist will lie to get you to the truth. So I don't feel bad about it. But we have to tell our children the truth about different things, and we have to take the kid gloves off of them and raise them in. And to give them so that their talents can be brought to the forefront and their abilities will be strengthened. One thing that I think that you always should do is give your children responsibility. If you have younger children and older children, what you should take, if you have multiple children, let's say you have three children, you have to, in my opinion, it's a good process to teach them all that they're responsible for protecting their parents. Not that their parents are responsible for protecting them, but they are responsible for protecting their parents. And when you do that, man, you change a whole different way children speak. We got to get ready to get out of here. Max is coming on with, and Scotty is coming on with the new Abolition Radio. That's coming on. Don't wait. Get on to that. And much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.